those songs, that last one. I just like anything about him. That's why they call it hymns, amen. And I just love songs about him. We did just make a new CD since we were here last, and this song is not the title song, but once the CD came out and I listened to it, I thought, wow, that should be the title song. But it's just another song about him, amen. Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider and Friend. He was yesterday, He'll be tomorrow, the beginning and end. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Jehovah Messiah, mighty God and King, He's the bread of life. Light in darkness, door to heaven, my home in the sky, a fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. But the angel called him Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Thank the Lord. Just to appreciate his name. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, of the glory of God the Father. Amen. And I appreciate his great name. I mentioned the song this morning that meant a lot to me when I was in the hospital, but this particular song meant a lot to her, because when I was down, and by the way, what I told you this morning, I have no memory of. I don't have any memory, not even driving to California. It's all gone. So she told, as a matter of fact, when I first started telling my testimony at church, I'd see her back there and she's shaking her head. You know, so she finally wrote a journal so I could know exactly how everything happened, you know, all the chronology and everything. But when I was down, she lost her head. I mean, the husband's ahead, she lost her head. And so our father took over as her head, and just everything she needed, he already had set up before she even needed it. And I'm just glad that whoever you are, whoever you need, whatever you need, that's who he is. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. When it was dark down in my heart, you brought life to me. Child of darkness became a child of light. And when my soul was dry and I needed drink, the water came for me. I am, Jesus said to me, I am Alpha, I am Omega, the in between. I am, Jesus said to me, I'll be what it takes to meet your need. You were the widow's cruse of oil, old Elijah's meat. You were shelter for brother Noah, a shepherd for the sheep, and in the fire you were that fourth man, and the cloud by day, and the fire by night for your children to lead the way. I am the bread of life, just take and eat. I am, Jesus said to me, I'll be what it takes to meet your need. I'll even go by way of Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
I was just thinking, here on this island, there's some people that I used to see, and they went to heaven. You know, I missed my chance a few years ago. I just can't get it right. If you never died before, you don't know what you're doing. Amen. I think about when my dad was passing away. One night, he said, "It's time. Is everybody here?" He was in the hospital. I said, "Billy's not here, my brother." He said, "You better get him. It's time." So I called Billy. "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, I'm just telling what Daddy said." So I called, and Billy shows up at the hospital, and we're around him. We're singing. We're praying. And just seemed like he's getting lower and lower. I thought, I'm going to get to watch Daddy take off from here. By 1 o'clock in the morning, he says, "I'm calling it off. I can't do it." He was a rookie. He'd never done it before. So, of course, my RV was parked in the hospital parking lot. So the next morning, as soon as I got up, I went upstairs to see if he was still alive, and he was. And so I said, "I'm going to go get some breakfast. I'll be back in a little bit." And I got to the door. He says, "Bud?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I want you to pray that I die before you come back from breakfast." I said, "Okay." He says, "Out loud where I can hear you." So I'm in the doorway. I'm praying God to kill my daddy. the nurses, doctors passed. Well, oh, God, take him out. But anyway, I came in, and after breakfast, he was still there. I said, "Didn't work, did it?" He said, "No, it didn't work." But about 3 days later, the Lord took him on the cross there, and it's such a blessing. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad God took the stinger out of death. Amen. 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 I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven. They're praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you so. And somehow I know if you could, then you'd let me know that you're doing fine and it doesn't hurt anymore. Couldn't be better, and heaven is worth waiting for. And you miss me too, until then, you'll be waiting for me. And I know if you could talk to me now, then here's what you'd say to me. Wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days. And it never rains and no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time, wish you were here. I have not seen nor ever heard what he's prepared for them, amen. I can just see them walking on the shores together. They're talking with Jesus, safe and secure in His love. Friends and loved ones walking in heavenly peace. And I know if they can talk to me now, here's what they say to me. Wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days. And it never rains and no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time, wish you were here. It never rains and no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time, wish you were here. I was thinking about my grandmother when she was close to passing. She was in her house, and she said, it was about 4 in the morning, I hear some, "Bud, Bud." So I ran in there, and I said, "Nanny, what's wrong?" She says, "I want to go home." And she'd been in a nursing home, and she wasn't in her bedroom, so I thought maybe she was confused. And I said, "Well, then you are home." I said, "You're in Mama's bedroom, but you're home." "No, I want to go home." I said, "You're talking about heaven." She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we've already talked to you about it. If you want to go, it's okay." She was 92 years old, 93. I said, "It's okay." So she sits up in the bed, and I thought, "I'm going to see it right here." And she sat up. Laid back down, just real disgusted. Like, I said, "Did you think he's going to go like that?" She says, "Yeah." Amen. But amen. I'm glad he took the stinger out of death. I mean, if you're saved, I mean, listen, death ain't no big deal. Amen. And the way that it happened, you know, anybody got requests? I mean, have you ever put into the Lord how you'd like to die? I have. I'm a sissy. I can't take pain. Amen. Suffering and all that. And that was one of my ways. You know, a pastor friend in Evansville, Indiana, and somebody called, said, "Pray for the Ford family." Brother Ford was on his back porch, and he had a heart attack. Said he was dead before he hit the ground. I said, "Yes, that's a good way. I want to be dead before I hit the ground." Amen. It's going to hurt if you're not dead when you hit the ground. Amen. So I'm going to be dead before I hit the ground. And, of course, I travel a lot, so a bad car wreck, you know, and that sounds morbid to you, but to me, I mean, it could happen. I mean, I've missed some good chances there, too, you know, and they'll say, "Oh, yeah, he didn't know what hit him." I don't want to know what hit me. I'd like to show up in heaven and say, "How did I get here?" And God said, "Oh, you don't want to know." Amen. Or the rapture. Yeah. Amen. And really, you know, I was talking to this brother here. We went to BBC together, amen. And back then, 2 out of 3 messages a week was on the second coming, wasn't it? I mean, I never dreamed I'd ever die. I just knew the Lord. And there's still a possibility. I'm still sucking air and upright, amen. He can still come. But I do look forward to it. But see, I can kid about that stuff because I'm saved. Amen. And if you're not saved here tonight, I'd pray for cancer. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I pray for cancer. I pray for something to give you enough time. Amen. Y'all tell me what that is. Is it time to quit already? All right. Amen. Is that outside?
No, that's right.
I cannot believe. Who is that?
You want to answer it? It's George from work.
George? Please.
Norm, is that yours? Tell you what, when you get old, you just don't know what you're doing, man. Amen. Amen. And the thing is, people accept it. It's just him, you know. Amen. Well, tell George I said hello. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bible somewhere. Amen. We got to go somewhere. I had this message in my heart. I said, I can't preach it because they're going to take an offering after. And you took the offering before. I'm glad you did. So turn to, I think it's 2 Kings. Amen. If it's not, it's 1. Amen. Turn to 2 Kings. All right. It may not be 2 Kings. And y'all excuse me because I wasn't going to preach this tonight. 1 Kings 17. That sounds more better. That's it. 1 Kings 17. I'll really be praying about y'all's building. And I really believe God's going to get glory out of it. And God's going to have to supply the money. But God don't have any money. If you went to heaven tonight, you wouldn't find a dollar bill. He don't have any money. It's out here somewhere. Amen. So what this church is going to be doing is praying that somebody out here can supply the money so you can build this building. Well, let me say this ahead of time. I had this verse in my heart, and I don't know if I can stick it in my message anywhere, so I'll just stick it right at the beginning. He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which is given will he pay him again. For example, maybe a missionary comes through here trying to get support. God called that missionary. If you hire somebody, you are responsible for their salary. Right. Right? And so God calls that missionary. God is responsible for his salary, but God don't have any money. So that missionary comes through here, shows you the field that God's called him to, and then you have the opportunity to lend the Lord some money. He that giveth to the Lord, lend it to the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again? If you put money in the bank as an investment or invested in stocks and bonds, all this stuff, listen, they're going to give you an increase. Amen. And I believe if you give to the Lord, he's going to give you good interest back. Amen. So we get into this message, and I just went from the backwards, and now let's get to the forwards. Amen. Chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So here, the man of God gives a message. It's not a popular message. It's to a wicked king. And the Lord says, now I think it's time for you to hide. Amen. So he hides. And verse 4 says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he has commanded birds, and if you will, dirty birds. Amen. They're scavengers. He has commanded some scavenger birds to feed his man. Again, if you call a man, if you hire a man, you take care of the man, and this is how God did it. So he went, verse 5, and went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Let me read that again. And the ravens brought him bread and what? Flesh in the morning and bread and what? Flesh. Okay, that's how God takes care of his people. Amen. Carnivore. Amen. I'm just saying, amen. I meet some vegetarians, you know, and I like to have them over for picnics and stuff, you know, so they get on their hands and knees and trim up around my picnic table while I'm cooking the burgers, amen? but God, and listen, if you, for health, you have to be, you know, vegetarian. Bless your heart, I'm sorry. But it's not wicked to eat meat. And as a matter of fact, the priests in the Old Testament had to eat meat. Matter of fact, Moses got mad at Aaron one time because he didn't eat the sacrifice. And Aaron finally explained to him, he said, listen, my two sons just got killed, and I just don't have an appetite. And Moses said, okay, I understand that. You don't have to eat the meat. But listen, anyway, I just want to cover that because on this island there's so many goofy people around. Amen. 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 Anyway, where was it before I interrupted myself? Ravens, verse 6. Now, verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Well, I guess so. He said it's not going to rain, so the brook dries up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath that belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. I don't know if you noticed or not, but first he said, go by the brook Cherith, and he said, dwell there. It's important to be there. And there is just wherever God wants you to be. It's important to be there. Some people are here when they're supposed to be there. God took care of Elijah when he was there, wherever God told him to go. Now there has changed. Sometimes there changes. So God has changed the there. He said, first I commanded the ravens to feed you. And notice, by the way, the ravens obeyed. You ever think about that? I mean, God commanded the ravens, and said, yes, sir, you're God. Amen. So they took care of him. So now the there has changed, and the means has changed. Arise, get thee to Zarephath that belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Now he's commanded somebody else, a widow woman, to sustain thee. This is not who you normally would think that God would have take care of the man of God, a widow woman. And as a matter of fact, as we read farther, we'll find out she's not just a widow woman, she's a poor widow woman. She doesn't have a whole lot. And God says, this is the one. So the word of the Lord came to him, verse 9, then verse 10. So he rose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Do you ever think when you're reading the Bible? I mean, it's hot. There's not a lot of water, and he gets into the where she lives, and she's out, and she's working, gathering sticks. Y'all think with me, what's he been doing? Sitting by the creek, and the gravy train comes in twice a day and brings him something to eat. That's all he's done for I don't know how many weeks or months. And then he sees this woman out, at least she's working, amen. She's gathering sticks, and look what he does. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now that's a bunch of brass. I mean, here's this woman working. As a matter of fact, you see where he introduces himself. I mean, the first thing comes out of his mouth, hey, lady, I need some water. I mean, I expect she needed some water. She's the one working. And then he asked her for a very precious commodity because it hadn't rained. I don't know where she had to get this water. I don't know how costly this water was. But he asked this lady for water. But before I go any farther, I want to remind you of the fact God said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God has already talked to this woman. He said, there's going to be a man of God coming in. I've called him. I promised I'd take care of him. But I don't have any money up here. I don't have food up here. You got the food, so I want you to take care of this man when he comes. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So he says, give me something to drink. And it gets worse. And as she was going to fetch it, verse 11, he called to her and said, while you're up, amen, he says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, again, I can't imagine a man of God just telling us. He still hadn't told her his name. I mean, oh, how you doing? I'm Elijah. What's your name? Oh, amen. I'm glad to meet you. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. No, he just says, give me something to drink. Give me something to eat. But again, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 12, she says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, and look at these next three words, I have not. That is a problem. I have not. If you hadn't, you know, maybe some of you are slow and you hadn't picked up on it yet, I'm going to preach on giving tonight. Amen. This lady says, I have not. I don't know a lot of millionaires. I could probably count them on two fingers, the people I know. And, of course, the two millionaires I know, one of them you wouldn't even know he's a millionaire. But not many millionaires in the church. There are some people, whatever, I don't know how much, close to $1 million, close, maybe, half a million. There are guys, just write a check. Hey, build it, brother, just go ahead and build it. People could do that. But I'm looking around. I don't see it in here. It's not in here. I know you know this, but God is extremely interested in what's going on right here. He wants this stuff to go on. And I know, and I'm trying to look over here right now, there's nobody in the overflow. Nobody's in the overflow. That's very awkward, having an overflow. You need a building. And God knows you need a building. So I'm saying what I'm preaching tonight, God's interested in. He's interested in it. I have not. When I went into evangelism, I didn't have a lot of meetings. I wasn't in demand. And so I didn't know how I was going to do it. When I first surrendered to go into evangelism, this year would be 34 years this summer. The day that I surrendered going to evangelism was at Shady Acres Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. This guy comes to me, he says, listen, I've got a home for boys, Rock Springs, Georgia. We have a mobile home that's empty. He said, if you'd like to, you can come stay in that mobile home. So that gave me a place to stay. Because, I mean, when you don't have a salary, I had a place to stay. And he says, and when we feed our boys, he said, you're welcome to come in and eat. God's so good. I mean, I surrendered, brother, and I thought, now what? I mean, I got a wife, I got four kids, and now what? And God just graciously just takes care of the main thing just right off. And so one morning I was praying. I didn't know whether to get support. I just didn't know what to do. One morning I was praying, and I said, God, you know, should I go on the road? Should I try to go on like a deputation for evangelists and get support, whatever? And one morning, I mean, listen, it wasn't an audible voice. It was louder. He said, I'm just going to take you on full time myself. And I said, amen. And that's the way it's been going for 34 years. Amen. God just takes care of the needs. But when he told me that, then I'm thinking, all right, that sounds good, but how do you have? Are y'all with me? How do you have? I mean, how do you get wealth? How do you acquire wealth? How do you? And so I started studying the Word of God and see how to have. You might want to take these notes, especially if you're a young person. Amen. Number one, how to have work. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Work. Now, obviously, I couldn't get a job because you can't have a job and commit yourself to be somewhere when you're supposed to be all over the other places. Amen. So obviously I couldn't get a job, but that don't stop you from working. Labor Day, I always thought Labor Day, I like to go out just sweep the sidewalks just to work. I mean, why do people not work on Labor Day? Amen. Anyway, I'm not even going to go there, but like Brother Rawls said, welfare is not well and it's not fair. Amen. But work, number one. Number two, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you put God first in your life. You put God first in your plans, your future. You put God first in all you do. He said, you put me first. And I'll take, and if you read the passage, it's talking about clothing, it's talking about shelter, and it's talking about food. He'll take care of you if you put him first. Next, and this was a big one for me. And all right, I'm gonna get back behind here. Amen. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. Let me tell you what credit's all about. I want it, and I want it now. Come on now, shake your little pointed heads. That's what credit is. I want it, and I want it now. There are so many reasons why that we should stay out of debt from the Word of God. Book of Proverbs is full of it. Let me just give you a few. The borrower is servant to the lender. And I bring you up to Matthew, no man can serve two masters. If you're in debt, some missionary comes through, you want to help him, you want to support him, but you got bills, guess what? You're obligated to pay those bills. You can't help that missionary. And you ought to pay your bills. But you're a servant to a different master. Is that why they call it MasterCard? Amen. I know how they got Discover. Every month you discovered you spent too much money. Amen. 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 But just so many reasons. Another one, I have credit cards, but I pay them off every month. The interest is horrible. Amen. Somebody, those Sears revolving, whatever they was. 24 APR, you know, I saved 10%, you know. No, you lost 14. You put it on a credit card. Duh. I'm sorry, but it just don't make sense. It don't make sense. And our country is getting, I mean, everybody's raised that way now. Here's the last, I got like seven reasons. Here's the last reason. And God gave me this when I was teaching in Bible college. I was teaching and somehow, in New Testament survey, I got on how to have and against credit. You can get it in some verse, amen. I found some verse and I got it in there. But we had kids in Bible college that hadn't had cards. But now they're graduated from high school and they're in college. They got cards now. And they couldn't pay their tuition because they drank so much Starbucks through the month. At the end of the month, they had to pay that card, and they couldn't pay tuition. Here's something my dad would say a lot, and you don't hear anymore. Are y'all ready for this? My dad would say this a lot, and you don't hear. I rarely hear anybody say this anymore. Are you ready for it? We can't afford it. You know what? When you put stuff on a card, you don't know if you can afford it or not till the end of the month. You go, oh, man, what did I do? And then it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and you have to get another credit card to start paying this credit card. It's a mess. You need to know when you can't afford something. Amen. How to have. Work. Put him first. Get out of debt, stay out of debt. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together, running over, shall God get, no, God don't have any money, shall men give in your bosoms. That's what it says. Shall men give in your bosoms. God says, you need to learn how to give. I was at a church, and, well, let me say this. When we first went to evangelism, my first meeting had four kids, and we had a teenager that we were trying to help, so we had a teenager with us that year too. So five kids, my wife and I, we drove up to Lansing, Michigan to Don Green's church in a 72 Toyota Corolla. had a trunk and a guitar on top of the car. I mean, we were, that's my first meeting. And we made enough had enough offering there. I think it's like a $850 offering. I went home and bought a cargo van, and somebody gave me some like couches and stuff that went in it, and a table, and it converted and all that. That's how we started. But I knew we had to do something. And you're supposed to take care of your family. I know that. But I knew God called me an evangelism. So we were praying for a motor home or praying for something to take care of it. But God had already dealt with me about credit. The same God that can provide the money after you get it can provide the money before you get it. And there's no payments. And there's no interest. Amen. I'm not Dave Ramsey, but that guy's pretty smart. Amen. Listen, it just all makes sense. And so I'm just trying to trust the Lord and trying to do what's right. And so we were, I think it was White House. I think that was the name of it down in Florida, around on I-10, right before you get to Jacksonville, at a camp meeting there. And there's a man from Bearing Precious Seed. And as a missionary, his job was to go to churches and raise money for paper so they could print Bibles. And so he presented his work there. And I'm sitting back here, and the Holy Spirit tells me, he said, when he gets done, I want you to give all your money towards a roll of paper. I was just visiting that church. I didn't know how. I mean, I've been in camp meetings before, and I know at some camp meetings it's pretty free, you know, if God speaks to you. But I didn't know if I had liberty there or not. So when he sat down, I said, God, you got to make it clear this is what I'm supposed to do. And so for whatever reason, the pastor gets up and told. He said, does anybody have anything to say? I thought, oh boy. I said, yeah. I said, God told me to give everything in my pocket towards a roll of paper. So I just walked down, went, the offering plates were up here on the communion table, and I really didn't know how much I had until I started pulling it out, looked like $25, and people started coming and putting money in the plate. So after the morning service, this guy walked up to me. He said, this is for you. And he sticks something in my suit coat pocket. And so as soon as I got out of everybody's sight, I hate to give these secrets away, amen. But us preachers understand this, amen. You go in the bathroom or something, you know, pull it out and see what it is. But it was $50. So I gave about $25 and got 50. I thought, this is pretty good. So I stuck it in my wallet and went to church that night. Well, we got there that night, and the pastor started telling what had happened that morning. And he started bragging on, oh, brother buddy, yeah, he's so precious, and he did this and he did that. And I didn't do it. I just did it because God told me to. He said, and we didn't get enough money for a roll of paper yet. So if you'd like to help tonight, you feel free to come and give. And God says, I want you to give that 50. I said, I'm not going to do it. Because he had bragged on me. And I didn't want to walk up in front of those people. And so Phyllis said, you got any money? I said, well, yeah. So I gave her the 50, and she gave it. The next night, the preacher gets up. He says, oh, brother buddy, by the way, would you come up here? Somebody gave me something to give you. I walked up there. He gave me a $100 bill. I thought, this is better than Vegas. Hey, man. I mean, it's double. Every time it's double. And listen, I'm not preaching that you give to get, but I'm preaching you can't give without getting. It's the law. Sowing and reaping, it's the law. You give, you're going to get. So I got this $100, and as soon as it touched my hand, the Lord said, you can't just spend that on anything. So I folded up, stuck in my wallet. To me, it was giving money. I mean, you know, let it ride. Is that what they do in Vegas? Let it ride, amen. So I was going to find another opportunity. And so I was about a month later, maybe 2 months later, I went to this place. This guy was starting a home for deaf children in Culloden, Georgia. And before church, he was telling me, he said, we need to get more support. And he says, I needed to get something to travel in. He said, there's a fifth wheel, 35-foot width fifth wheel I looked at. He said, and they're asking $6,600 for it. And he said, I just got to thinking, there's 66 books in the Bible. He said, that's only $100 a book. And I thought, how stupid. Sound like a little kid trying to make something look not as big as it really is, you know. Only $100 a book, you know. What if there's 40,000 books in the Bible? I don't know. But anyway, he said, only $100 a book. So I'm up there preaching to these deaf kids to this dumb pastor. But all I can, Brother Ted, all I can think is $100 a book. $100 a book. And I'm preaching, I'm thinking, I know where there's $100. So during the invitation, I went to him, I said, Brother, I wanted to help you on that fifth wheel, and I gave him that $100 bill. He said, well, there's Genesis. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, that's the first one. I said, you're crazy, man. You're an idiot. And so I saw him 2 weeks later in Milton, Florida at a camp meeting. I walked in the back. He was standing by the piano up here, and he sees me. He said, I'm up to Hosea. And God gave him that $6,600 in 30 days like he agreed to the guy. And so the next time I saw him, we got to see that thing. I just got rejoicing in the Lord. I remember just touching it and praying for it, you know, just thanking the Lord. And I'm thinking in my heart, God can do it for me. He did it for him. God can do it for me. And it gave me confidence in the Lord that, yeah, it's going to come. It's just going to come. And so just maybe 2-3 months passed, and we went there again. As I said, I didn't have any meetings, so I spent a lot of time in his place because he had like 200 acres, had a 10-acre lake, had deer all over the place. Amen. I was fishing and hunting. Amen. So nothing else to do. So we went there, got there about 11 o'clock one night, and he starts telling me about this church in Miami that he'd given the home, an 18-foot travel trailer, little bumper things, you know. And he's got this 35-foot fifth wheel. I'm thinking, he don't need that thing, you know. And I've been saving up some money. I had about $300 saved up. I thought, I might can buy this thing from him. I said, when are you going to go get it? He said, I'm just looking for the time, you know, some help. I said, let's go. He said, you want to go? I said, yeah, let's go. So 11:30 at night, we tell our wives, we're going to Miami. So we take off to Miami, amen. And so we're driving down the interstate. It's I-75. And he says, I better go back and sleep. I'll probably have to help you drive later on. So he gets to the back of my van there in a little couch. And I hear him talking, mumbling. I couldn't hear what he's mumbling, but he's talking back there. And I hoping he's praying, amen. And so then he gets back up and sits down. He said, I can't sleep. I got to do something. I said, well, what? He said, do you believe the whole Bible? I said, yeah. He said, do you believe if a man sows bountifully that he'll reap also bountifully? I said, yeah. He said, this trailer we're going to pick up, he said, I was going to give it to you. And when he said was, my heart just... He said, I was going to give it to you. I was just going to sow it, just see what would come up if I sowed it. He said, I was back there praying, and the Lord said, well, if you can give him that little trailer, you can give him that big one. And he said, the truck too is a fifth wheel. He said, the truck too? The Lord said, yeah, the truck too. He said, so I'm going to give you the fifth wheel and the truck. I pull over the side of the road, Brother Ted. It's 3 o'clock in the morning by now. Pull over the side of the road. Now, y'all probably don't have these in Hawaii, but we have them down south occasionally. We call them spells. We jumped the fence, went down in this pine thicket. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Throwing pine needles up in the air, just praising the Lord. And so I was out of breath. I was leaning against a tree, and I heard Brother Marvin, glory to God, woo! And I said, He's the one who gave it to me, and he's having a great time. And the Lord said, what's more blessed to give than to receive? I said, that's right. Amen. It is more blessed. And Marvin's having a time. Amen. So we just praise the Lord. Finally, you know, we jumped the fence going over there. When we was out of the Spirit, we had to climb it coming back. Amen. So we climbed the fence, got back in the van. I hadn't driven 5 minutes, and he started shouting again. I said, what? He said, it just dawned on me. He said, you paid a down payment on it. I never would have thought about it, that first $100. And little did I know when I gave that $100 that I was buying a 35-foot fifth wheel and a pickup truck. I didn't know, but God knew. He said, you need to learn how to give. She said, I have not. Let's keep reading. Verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Oh, she does have something. Let me say this. God doesn't ask us for what we don't have. I mean, he told Moses, what is that in thine hand? I mean, Moses didn't have a lot, but he had a stick. He said, oh, we can start with that. Amen. So here, I got a little oil, a little meal, and said, I'm gathering two sticks, and I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and we may eat it and die. This is the Last Supper right here, amen. She said, this is it. This is all I have. And Elijah said to her, fear not. That's easy for us to say, isn't it? Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. You think he had gall when he said, give me something to drink. You think he had gall when he says, give me something to eat. You think he had gall when he finds out that's the last thing they have and he says, me first. I haven't given you the title of the message on purpose. God said he'd take care of the poor. Which one of these two people had the real need? The widow did. God takes care of widows and orphans, according to Proverbs. God was using this prophet, this man of God, and her taking care of his needs to take care of her needs. Me first. But the verse doesn't stop there. And after. Well, according to her, there wasn't going to be an after. After, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I like it when he signs the checks. Amen. That's what. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The title of this message is The Widow's Need. The Widow's Need. I'm trying to encourage you with this. God's loaded, but he just don't have any on hand. It's down here. And I know nobody here can write a check. And just go ahead and put the building up. Here's the check. We can't do it. But little as much when God's in it. And if each person here is faithful to give what you have, and we have enough time where we could give and get and give and get and give. Are you with me? Just be faithful. God's not asking you for what you don't have. But I'm saying God has a plan here. And to me, it's a big plan. I was, some of y'all know him, Brother Earl Hughes. I know Hannah knows him, Brother Norm knows him. He, old mountain preacher, brother, wish you'd have met him. No, I'm talking behind you there. Yeah. He, old mountain preacher. I saw him at a meeting at Harry Nix's, when Harry Nix pastored there in Royston, Georgia. And I love Brother Earl with all my heart. And he said, last time I saw you, you highly offended me. I mean, it just hurt me. I said, what did I? Oh, you didn't do it knowingly. You didn't do it on purpose. He said, I saw you at Sammy Allen's camp meeting. And he said, I saw you and your family up there singing. And said, Lord spoke to my heart and said to give you $50. He says, so I went home that night and looked in my closet where I keep all my money and got $50 out to give you that next day. He said, I went to that service the next day and looked all over the place and said, you weren't there. Somebody set you up and left. He said, I just cried. I said, you got my address? You could have sent it to me. He said, Well, after a while, I lost my liberty to give it to you. In other words, the want to left, you know. So he told that story that whole week. I mean, he just thought that was the neatest thing in the world, that he jipped me out of $50, you know. He's telling people, and it's just all, people are laughing all over the place. And at the end of that meeting, he comes to me, he says, "Brother, so I just want you to know, just seeing your family again, just God's warmed up that friendship and everything again." He said, "But I just want you to know, God gave me liberty to give you that $50. He said, "But now I don't have the $50. About 2 weeks later, I get an envelope in the mail. No letter, not even folded in a piece of paper, a $50 bill. So the transaction finally took place. But Brother Norm, God taught me about giving with that little scenario that happened. There's three ingredients that you need in giving. You need the opportunity, you need the funds, and you need the liberty. There's three ingredients. The first time, Brother Earl had the liberty to give it, and he had the funds to give it, but he didn't have the opportunity. I wasn't there. The next time, he had the liberty to give it to me, and the funds to give it to me. He had the funds to give it, but he didn't have the opportunity. But finally, all three came together. We have the funds. Now, we don't have $500,000, but we got something. And we have a great opportunity. Let me say this. I'm about done. But let me say this. There are churches you can be a part of here, and they don't need anything. And they're not doing anything. I mean, obviously, if you're not doing anything, you don't need anything. And y'all could be a member of that church. Just do nothing, not need anything. Or you can be here. But if you hang around here, there's stuff to do. And if there's stuff to do, it's going to cost money. We have some money. And you folks are blessed they have an opportunity. So what's the missing part, maybe, is the liberty. The liberty. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm just asking tonight, and most of you are already there, but I'm just asking tonight, let's just commit together. God, I'll be as faithful as I can. I'll trust you with my fund, my finances. I want to be a blessing here. I know you don't have any money, but it can be channeled through me, so I pray that you would. And I want to do something big. I want to do something big. When this thing goes up, people on the island are going to notice and say, that little church couldn't have done that, which is going to be true. I know God did it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I'm so excited to be around churches that are growing, churches that have needs, churches that you said were in the ox and are the crib is clean, but there's much increase with the ox, Lord. When there's people got stuff going on, there's messes and there's financial problems and God, I'm thankful to be a member of a church like that and thankful that I'm able to preach at a church like that. So I pray that you'd help us, Father, to just open our hearts. And God, that you would show us ways. God, that you'd open doors to where we could be a financial blessing and in turn, you would be a financial blessing to us where we could give more. God, I just love to see this place next year. Year and a half, that's a two-story building, and people in the auditorium, kids in the, oh, Lord, just what a blessing on this island. This island never seen that. God, would you do it? Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand? Can we do that? And again, you know, we're not going to take an offering tonight. I was in a meeting where it was a missions conference, missions, and I noticed Brother Nathan, the guy preaching, he kept walking around something behind the pulpit. I don't know what it was, but he kept walking around something. He got the invitation. He pulls this thing out. It's an offering plate this big around. And we started snickering. We thought, yeah, he wants to get a big offering, amen. But he laid it down at the altar. And the invitation was for people to stand in the offering plate and give themselves. And I remember that night, there were men standing in offering plate. There were couples standing in offering plate presenting themselves a living sacrifice. Guess what? If God has this, He's got this, or you ladies, this. Amen. Amen. Why don't we do it tonight? Just every head bowed, every eye closed. But some of you right now just come to this altar and say, God, you got me. I'm going to put myself in that offering plate. Whatever you want me to do, I want you to increase my faith, whatever it's going to take. But God, I want to see you do something. I want you to use me to do it for His glory. Why don't you come right now? Some of you men especially, why don't you come right now if you're a member of this church and just place yourself on this altar and say, God, I mean, whatever I can do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give. I'm going to fast. I'm going to work. That's right. You ladies too. That's right. Amen. I didn't mean to leave you out. But you just spend time with God and say, God, I'm excited about being a part of this, and I want you to know I'm in. I'm in. And whatever I can do financially, whatever I can do prayer-wise, there's people on this island have money that probably would try to help. Just have to find out who they are. I mean, we don't have to find out. God has to find out who they are and hook us up. Amen. But I think God wants to do something here. He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That which he had given will he pay him again. Again, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being part of a church that's a moving church, a giving church, a working church, a soul-winning church, a missions-giving church. God, I'm just thankful to be a member of a church that's alive. And God, I know you're interested in this place and you've got your hand on this place. And so I'm asking you to take care of the needs. Give pastor wisdom, all these possibilities of finances coming in from this place and that place. I pray you open doors. And I pray you'd help your people here to be faithful and do their part. And God, you'd increase their faith. And God, just to see what you can do here for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.